Good morning. Good morning. Wonderful to see everybody alive and well and excited for our time of worship this morning. We'd like to welcome you all to Flat Springs Baptist Church, our worship service this morning. If you're a guest with us, we are glad you are here. We have guest cards that are located in the pew directly in front of you. That's our way just to get a little information about you and to have a record of you being with us. And we're thankful if it's your first time or if you've been many times. If you've never filled one of those out, we would love to have that record of your attendance with us. Today is Mother's Day. Excited to welcome all the mothers, as some of us are remembering mothers, as some of us are celebrating as first-time mothers. There's a wide array of thoughts, emotions that go with the day. How exciting it is to worship together as a church family for a day such as today. So, just as announcement, first announcement I have, GAs are giving out bookmarks. This is in honor of Mother's Day, but for all women. If you didn't get one, they're located at the back right there. Where John is standing, there will be a stack back there. If you make your way afterwards, please feel free to pick one of those up. Also, there won't be any activities or ministries this evening as well. One other announcement that I do have to make sure we're all aware of, please sign your family up for our directory pictures. Positions and slots, time slots are going fast, so make sure you get your family signed up for a time slot so you can have your picture taken and be in our directory, and that will begin sooner than later, so make sure you're aware of when you have signed up as well. Are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? All right, let's bow our heads and have a moment of prayer to begin our service. God, we are so thankful to come together as your people. God, gathered together this morning, we know you have called us to a time of worship, to a time to acknowledge your presence here among us and your presence in our lives that transform us. We're excited to be able to sing praises to your name. We're excited about the day as we celebrate mothers. We're humbled to know that you have given us purpose in our lives, that you are directing our thoughts and our actions for the week that is ahead. Lord, all that we do and say today and this coming week, may it be to honor you. May we find ways and actively seek out how to glorify your name by telling other people about you, by showing them your love, by being patient and like-minded to that of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Justin and Amanda, if it is your intent to dedicate Chloe Reese Covert to the Lord, would you join me now at the altar? Camden, would you come and stand here with your parents and your sister for this very important dedication? Hey, Miss Chloe. The children were brought that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them, saying, "But Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and then went away. What an awesome thing it is, this process we call birth. And on April the 7th, Miss Chloe made her arrival into this world. And the world will never be the same because God has blessed us with her. Even more amazing is what happens when a child grows. It wasn't long ago we had Camden here, and he was being held as Chloe is now. In an all-too-brief span of time, an infant so vulnerable and dependent becomes a child, rapidly learning how to crawl and then to walk, moving from cries to words to sentences, growing in body and mind and in spirit toward adulthood. And parents have a tremendous opportunity to witness it all and the great responsibility to guide the process they began. Our faith informs us that our children, they belong to God, and they are entrusted to our hands but for a season. Parenting at its best is a calling from God through those years to love, to protect, to challenge, and to gradually release this precious child. Parenting requires every resource we have, and then some. From walking the halls at 2 a.m. with a crying infant, to waiting up past midnight for a tardy teenager. Parenting's not for the weak-hearted. The good news is that parents do not feel these shoes alone. The Lord is there all along the way of a child's growth and development. And many are the resources our Maker provides, if only we ask and seek to find. Justin and Amanda, you have brought precious little Chloe before this congregation to consecrate her to the Lord and to dedicate yourselves to the task of parenting. The time has come for you to make promises. Promises made here at the altar before this congregation. Will you, Justin and Amanda, pledge to support and love Chloe by providing the opportunity for her to grow up in a family of faith with the hope that she will someday confess Christ as her own teacher, Lord, and Savior? If so, would you please say, "We will"? Will you, to the best of your ability and with God's help, provide a loving family environment in which Chloe can grow in love, loyalty, and obedience to God? If you will, please say, "We will." Will you encourage Chloe to grow in faith so that she might later, when she's older, accept Christ as her Lord and Savior and be received into the fellowship of the church by baptism, fully partaking in our work and worship here at the church? If so, will you say, "We will"? And to grandparents and this extended family, blessed is the child who has faithful, loving grandparents. Not only do you, who are here with this young family today, thoroughly enjoy, help, and nurture this precious child in your own unique way, you also support this family in the wonder-filled and sometimes frustrating process of parenting. If you're here and part of this extended family, biological family, because if I said that, the whole church would stand up, because we're all your family. But you're here part of the biological family. Would you please stand right now? There they are. Best Baptist in the world. Look at there on the background. To this family, will you likewise pledge to support, encourage, and love Chloe, Camden, and their parents through these awesome years to the best of your ability? If so, will you please say, "We will"? And now to the church family, This room is full of many hearts and hands whom our God has drawn together into a family of faith. Within the Church of Jesus Christ, no parent stands alone. No child is without many spiritual aunts and uncles, sisters and brothers. We are here to help bear this awesome and exciting responsibility of raising Miss Chloe. To the church, will they grow? Will she grow in her faith? Will she hear the stories of Jesus? Will her words be lived out before them in such a way that she'll know they're true and that truth will set her free? Will she be encouraged to walk by faith, little by little, be forgiven when she falls, and be challenged to one day undertake the greatest journey of all, to follow Jesus in the waters of baptism and in a life consecrated to Christ? The answer to those questions is the mission of Flat Springs Baptist Church. Are we ready? Yes, we are. To Flat Springs Baptist, if we would recognize the awesome stewardship we have to Chloe Camden and to Justin and Amanda, to be their spiritual family, to help them raise this special gift named Chloe Reese Coburn Church. If we will commit to love, to pray, to teach, and support this newly dedicated life to the best of our ability, would you now please stand with this family? And now your family and your church family, we stand together with you for the awesome responsibility as we celebrate the gift that is Miss Chloe. May I offer a prayer of dedication and then invite Davis, your deacon, to come and present you with a gift from our church. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a blessing on April the 7th when Miss Chloe made her appearance into this world. And God, now she's here, and we already love her, and we are already excited about what you're up to in her life, and we recognize her as a gift from you. And now, Lord, we dedicate her to you and ask that you might help us. Help this family. Help this extended family. Help we who are her church, that we might give her every opportunity and the best opportunity to grow in her love and faith for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Church, you may be seated. Davis, come. After he's brought that, you may get on. You do good. And as Matt mentioned, this is Amanda's first Mother's Day. Someone had given me a piece on what one young fellow said, what would you do to make your mom perfect? And he said, diet. He said, you know, her hair, like maybe blue. See, I bet some of y'all weren't going there, were you? You were having a whole different thought. What moms taught us. One fellow said, my mama taught me religion. She said, when I spill grape juice on the carpet, said, you better pray that stain comes out of that carpet. Another said, taught me logic. Her decisive words, because I said so, that's why. Another said, she taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Now, did anybody ever really do that? My mother taught me irony. She said, keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. Well, she taught me stamina. Said, you're going to sit there till you eat all that spinach. She taught me about weather. She said, looks like a tornado swept through your room. I never did this one. Maybe you didn't, but I've heard it. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world. I won't even finish it then. And then mom taught me behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. Now we can all probably. Moms, y'all have done that, I know. And mom taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in the world who don't have a wonderful mom like you do. And I know today we're in a room with wonderful moms. If you're here today and you're a mom, would you please stand for just one moment? You bless your family. You bless our community. And you bless our church. May I offer a prayer for you and on your behalf. Heavenly Father, on this day, we know there are some who have grown up in so unfortunate circumstances that this may not be a day to celebrate, and we are mindful of that, and we pray for those broken homes. But Lord, we also know that one of your great blessings is a godly and a loving mother. And I thank you for my mom and how she has influenced and still influences my life. And for these mothers who now stand here, Lord, in this place, in your presence, I ask that you might bless them in a very special way. That they might know that the work they do, that sometimes it may not feel as though they are thanked, but God, you see it all, and you are well pleased with a godly, loving mother. I thank you for the women of our church who do so much of the important work that our church is able to accomplish are accomplished by the spiritual gifts and the tireless sacrifice of the women of our church. For that we are so grateful. Now on this special day, we pray your special blessing to be upon moms, upon family, that we might continue in a path that would be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you can remain standing because I think we're going to sing.
Yeah, let's sing.
Let's sing.
Page 575, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. First, second, and last verses.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come here today in worship. Thank you for the Mother's Day and all the mothers, both new and seasoned, that you've given us throughout the day. Please be with those listed on our prayer list and touch them with your healing hands. Please Bless these offerings you're about to receive to further your kingdom. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Few moments for everybody to gather right here. I'd love to be able to see you all. So if you can get anywhere where you can see me, I can see you. That'd be the best way to have it done. We're working on our transition, and that is working out well. I know it's a little different than we used to do it. This is great. We can do it now after the offering. Well, my question this morning is an easy one. You all see what I have in my hand here. It's a little stuffed dog. Now, who do you think this might belong to if I brought it? It's Lillian's little stuffed dog. Now, we also have a real dog at home, but this is Lillian's little stuffed dog, and she loves her little stuffed dog. She takes it everywhere she goes, and she loves holding on to it, especially when we're riding in the car. She loves her stuffed dog. Now, some of you may have a real dog at home. Raise your hand if you have a dog at home. You have two. Tell me what other kind of pets you have at home. You have three of them. What other kind of pets do you have? You have a cat? What else? Cats? Anybody have anything not a dog or cat? Birds? Does anybody have a pet sheep? That kind of seems weird. Maybe not a pet sheep, right? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But my guess is if you do have a dog at home, or even your cat, you love your dog and cat. And maybe you've gone away for a little bit, or you're at school, or you're at a friend's house, and you come back home, and when the dog hears your voice, the dog gets really excited, right? Loves to hear your voice, comes running to you. I know when I come home, our little dog, Lola, runs over and just jumps all over us and is so excited to hear our voice because she knows us and she knows we take care of her. Now, if a stranger was to come into your house, most dogs might not really be as excited about a stranger coming in. I know our little dog thinks she's really big and the hair on the back of her neck will stand up if she doesn't know the person. She'll kind of wait to see what we do. So a dog may not be as nice to a stranger. Well, did you know sheep are the same way? They will listen to their shepherd because they know the shepherd takes care of them, and they will follow their shepherd, and they hear their shepherd's voice, and they know their shepherd's voice because they know they want to be taken care of and loved. And this morning in our Bible story in John chapter 10, we're going to listen to how we are like sheep, and Jesus is like our shepherd. We follow Jesus because we know he loves us, and we know his voice by reading the Bible and what he teaches us, and we follow that because we know he takes care of us. Let's read John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. To him the door opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they'll run from a stranger because they don't know the stranger's voice. So what I want you to remember this morning is how important it is to follow Jesus and what he says here, because he loves us and takes care of us, and we need to make sure we follow him because he is our friend as well. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, we love you so much. And God, we're thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for that, and we're thankful for the way they take care of us too. And thank you for Jesus and the way we follow him because we know that he takes care of us and all of us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
Page 4 in our hymnal, To God Be the Glory, up tempo. Take a deep breath. Now we're going to be singing fast. Let's all stand.
May be seated. This morning, as we look at our prayer concerns, let me add one name. It is a kindergarten child. Her name is Hannah McDuff. I understand that she has been bitten by a venomous snake and has been transferred from Sanford to Wake Med. We want to keep her in our prayers. Hannah McDuff, please add that name to your prayer list. You see the list that is before us. You see the opportunity that is before us. May I invite us to pray together. God, we have gathered in this place in one spirit and one accord. We have gathered with one purpose, with one hope, and that is to encounter you, our living God. And not just to encounter you, O God, but to allow you into the deepest places of our life, to open doors that we rarely open, to think thoughts we rarely think, to allow you, O God, to shape us and to form us in the places we don't allow anyone or anything to willfully go. Today, O God, we throw it all open and invite you to come in. and to speak to us. To see us and to allow us to see how you see us. To touch us with your grace and with your mercy, but also with your justice and with your righteousness. To forgive us once we have confessed. To restore us. And that each one of us may leave this building today able to hum the hymn, "It is well with my soul." Oh God, that's our hope. That's our mission. That's what we come to do. And we can't do it without you helping us. So God, would you help us? The names on our prayer list are so important to us and even more important to you. We lift them to your care, O God, and ask your blessing to be upon every need, every hurting heart, every ailing body. We ask, O God, for your grace, for your mercy, and for your healing. We thank you on this day for the gift of family, that in its best form, when it is doing all it can do as well as it can do, it is embodied by a mother. In Jesus' name, we give these thanks and offer this prayer.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that wonderful news? A little talk with Jesus can change everything. If you have your Bibles, open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul has involved just a tiny bit of church history to bring us to where we are. The church began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And very early in the church's life, it began to be persecuted greatly. A second church was birthed in Antioch, and that's the mission-giving church. That's where Paul and Silas and Barnabas all seemed to use as their station. But they're mindful of what it's sometimes called the poor saints back in Jerusalem, living under the persecution not only of Rome but also of the Jewish leaders. And they have pulled all their resources. You may remember reading in Acts 2. They gave it all away, and yet they've gone through it all. And in the persecution, they're struggling. And the church is struggling. And so Paul is going throughout his ministry, and they're collecting an offering for the struggling church in Jerusalem. He spends chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians sharing about that, and it says, he's giving them all, and he says, I know you're going to do well. And then he picks right back up in chapter 9. He's talking about it again. He's talking about Christian stewardship. You might wonder why a stewardship sermon on Mother's Day. Well, if I were to tell you the whole truth, it's because that's where it falls in our study. But in God's time, and as God often does, I was talking with Justin and Amanda before we came in to do the baby dedication for Miss Chloe. We're stewards of our family, aren't we? We're stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. And the truths that Paul is going to remind us of here in this passage, I think, have far implications to our life and living as we give of our time and our energy and all that we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin to read in verse 6, and we're going to read through verse 15. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart. Another translation says, as you make up your mind. I like that. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Would you pray with me? God, would you help us as believers, as disciples, as family, as church, to realize you have entrusted much to us. May we be faithful. For when we are faithful, We are blessed, and we are a blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Scripture teaches that money is really a reflection of our devotion and commitment to God in other areas of our life. Are we being good stewards in everything? I wonder if we might be like the story I heard, that sometimes when we see someone really being a steward, it amazes us. There's a story I heard, I think fictitious story, of a fellow who was recovering from a severe heart attack. And the doctor said there needed to be no excitement in his life of any kind for the next several months while he recuperated. And then the doctor repeated, no excitement of what, of any kind. The next day, his wife found out that a relative they had never met had passed away, and in his will had left $10 million to her recuperating husband. And she thought, if I tell him that, he'll have a heart attack and die. What am I going to do? Well, she thought for a moment, and she called the pastor. She said, you know, pastor, you deal with folks, and you're good at it. And here's the deal. We've got to tell him about this, but we can't let him get excited about it. Do you think you can handle that? Well, pastor thought for a few moments. He said, I'll try. So he came over, and he leaned in talking with Mike, and after he'd, how you doing, all that, he said, Mike, I've got a problem. I'd like your advice on it. Mike said, I'd be glad to help you, pastor, give you what I can. Pastor took a deep breath and he said, well, now this is just a theoretical situation, and we're talking about stewardship. I'm trying to figure out what a normal Christian would do if they just found out they had received, oh, I don't know, say $10 million. Mike never hesitated at all. He said, the first thing I'd do, preacher, would be give $8 million to the church. And the preacher had a heart attack right there. Generosity shocks us, doesn't it? It surprises us. And yet, if there's anything the Christian life is to be, it's to be generous. Someone has said, stewardship is not leaving a tip on God's table. It is the confession of an unpayable debt from God's Calvary. That's pretty powerful. I think in our text today, we're given three opportunities where if we get these stewardships right, the money will just take care of itself. I too often think that talking about money is like talking about the symptom and not the problem. If someone comes to you and says their left arm is hurting, you can put ice on that left arm, but it might be an indication of a heart attack. And you don't treat heart attacks with ice on the arm. The first truth, I think, that Paul gives us is the stewardship of the head. I like what he says in verse 7. Each one must decide. I like that other translation that says we must make up our own mind. I don't believe that a sermon will do it. I don't believe a Bible study will do it. I believe, and this is what I believe, that each one of us that gathered in this place, if we really love the Lord, we understand we have a responsibility to God. Nobody has to tell us that. It is God's grace that gives us salvation, but because we're saved, because we're part of the team, we've got to decide how we're going to engage that. We must make up our own mind. I've wondered, which comes first, stewardship of the head or of the heart? Do I get you feeling right and then you start thinking right? Or do I get you thinking right and then you start feeling right? That may be like the chicken or the egg. I may not have the right answer because I think maybe they don't fit in quite that tremendous category. Although I'm going to make them in this sermon do that today. I'm going to talk about different parts. But which comes first? I'm not sure. But if you push me in a corner, I think that maybe for some it's a matter of the heart first and then the thinking comes. And for others it's the thinking and then the heart comes. But I think it's almost simultaneous, to tell you the truth. I do know this, our thinking influences our thinking. Imagine for a moment right now if I were to tell you, I have bad news. While I'm preaching this sermon, there are a band of thieves and they're out breaking in every car that's in our parking lot right now. I'm going to guess, I'm going to feel so bad if that really does happen. You know, that's the first thing. But if you really believe that was happening, if you really thought that was happening, I pastored a church where folks decided to come check our parking lot off out during some church services, and we had to start monitoring our parking lot during services. But if you really thought that was happening, if you really thought that was happening, it would change the way you felt, wouldn't it? I think it would. Our thinking does affect. Have you ever heard something, someone said something to you that really shocked you or really angered you or really excited you? And suddenly you felt your whole body begin to, suddenly just the words that came into your ears and went into your head suddenly flowed all over you. That's what stewardship is supposed to be. Let each one make up his mind. Let each one decide. Today, God is saying, I want to walk so deeply with you. And yet, it's up to us. How will we think? Our thinking not only affects how we feel, it affects what we do. We really don't do anything without thinking about it first. I can't even move my hand out here. My mind has to tell it. And then when I want it to come down to my side, it'll just stay there as long as I can hold it up until my mind says, bring it down. And then on command, it follows what my mind, what my thinking tells it to do. Let me give you an idea of just how we have been told by God to think of death. It's a beautiful one statement. And I think if you'll just focus on it for a moment, you'll understand how it works. I was reading that. I was thinking about thinking, and I ran across this quote. It says, think not of death as the extinguishing of life, but rather snuffing out of a candle because the dawn has come. Isn't that beautiful? Did y'all get that? I know it's a little warm in here. Okay? Hear that again. But see how you could change the way you think of death? Think of death. Think not of death as extinguishing life, but rather as snuffing out the candle because the dawn has come. You don't need a candle when it gets light, do you? Sometimes when we don't think, that's when the masterpiece God would do in our life gets messed up. There's a story, in fact, I Googled this to make sure it was right before I first read it. There was a visitor to the British Museum back in March, I think it was 2006, that tripped over his shoelaces in the museum. And he fell. And he destroyed three priceless vases, or if you're formal, vases. They were from the Qing dynasty and had been given to the museum 40 years ago. Can you imagine how he must have felt? The trip and fall in a museum. And maybe the first thing he said was, I'll replace them. And they said, oh, no, you won't either. You can't. You simply can't do it. One, as far as we know, they're the only ones that are left. And if we were to put a price on it, They're priceless. Now, I felt sorry when I read that about that poor fellow. And I like the last statement in one of the places I read. The curator of the museum said, "And we were glad the guest left with no harm." I wonder if he was biting his lip when he said that he left with no harm. But I began to think, because as I look out over this congregation, every one of us are priceless. Little Chloe, she's priceless. My heart breaks for the children that have been stolen and are about to be sold into some heart. They're priceless. You're priceless. But what God will do with us, we must think. Because if we're not think, we will be awkward. We'll be careless. We'll trip over our own shoelaces because we haven't been good enough steward with tying our shoes. And when we fall, the crash may be terrible. Secondly, this morning, stewardship of the heart. The end of verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. I love what's... You remember the story we've done? I don't know if you read the classic old story by Charles Dickens of A Christmas Carol. You remember Scrooge? I mean, he's been cartooned to death now, hasn't he? But in that story, Dickens was trying to show a lesson of a changed life. And his last sentences capture it so powerfully. You remember Scrooge was the one that wanted him to work on Christmas. He wanted him to work on Christmas Day, but certainly on Christmas Eve. And his pay was less inadequate. He was more a miserly kind of guy. He was self-centered and he was selfish. It was all about him and no one else. And the ghost of Christmas, the three ghosts came to see him and they showed him some things. I wonder today if God's Holy Spirit might show me some things, you some things. Here's how Dickens ends his Christmas Carol. Scrooge realized the error of his stingy, miserly ways. Scrooge gets converted. At the end of the book, he writes, "Scrooge was better than his word. Better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And a tiny Tim, who did not die, he became a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew." Wow. To be Scrooge, or to be converted Scrooge, that might be the question. God loves a cheerful giver. To give to God from the overflow of our love, that's God's plan. That's what Paul said. God's going to do more with what we give to Him than we can ever imagine. I told the prayer meeting crowd this past Wednesday night, we don't serve a needy God. We don't serve a poor God. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need what you and I have been blessed with. He doesn't need our talent. He doesn't need anything to be who He is. But He wants us. He wants us. He wants us. And He will bless us more than we can imagine. I love that passage in Malachi where it says, "Bring the tithes and storehouse in to the Lord's house, and He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us." Now, I want to tell you, I think some people messed that up. I think some people on TV especially mess that up. And I'm not a fan of the prosperity theology. I'm not a fan that you can put a seed offering in this offering plate and next week somebody's going to send you a tremendous check. I just don't believe that's how it works. But how I do believe it works, how I know it works, how I have experienced it working, is that when I am a faithful steward to God, He blesses me. And He gives me a peace that passes understanding. He gives me a joy in my heart that is not tied to my circumstances. He changes my world. That's what I know. That's the abundance I think that Paul is talking about. Finally, this morning, when we have stewardship of the head and the heart right, it leads to what we need to talk about for just one moment, the stewardship of home. God will provide our home with the good stewards that we need. Look with me at verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed and the sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, I'm in the process of getting my garden planted, and we've got the garden going in the back here. I guess we need to pray for rain, don't we? We need water, but not too much water because that back corner doesn't need, we just need the right amount of water. We'll leave it to the Lord. But I've been planting my garden, and I had to go, and I wanted to plant a certain kind of green bean, the contender green bean. And they didn't have any seed. So I had to settle for a different seed, and I've grown this bean before. It's a good bean. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. But I got to thinking as I was planting those seeds, I don't know how to make a seed. You know how to make a seed? I mean, I say I'm going to grow a garden. Well, that's not quite true. I'm going to take some seed God made. I'm going to plant them in dirt God made. God's going to give me water He made. He's going to give it air and sun He made. And it's going to grow the way He intended. But I grew a garden. Do you see where I went with that? And it's like that about everything. It's about that, about this body, about this mind, about all the resources that are ours. It is that way about everything. This morning, as we look at stewardship of home, I want to end with one story. Are we being good stewards? And today, Chloe taught us the greatest lesson we can learn. That she was brought to the altar, because that's the only way we ever get here. Somebody. It said that there was a wealthy man who had had a foreman all of his life that had worked with him. And he said, I'm going to be taking a trip, and I've never put you in full charge of everything. I want you to be in full charge of everything. And I want you to build this house. It's on this choice piece of property. Well, the foreman got to thinking to himself, well, I think while the cat's away, the mice might play. And I don't think I'm going to do it. His standards were way too high. He always wanted everything done with the best. I always thought that was unnecessary. And I know where I can get some deals. In fact, while he's gone, it might just work out that I can save enough money on this house by getting those deals. And so he began to build a house. And he used less than quality equipment, less than quality materials. He did it rapidly, not taking the time that his contractor always demanded that every part be done correctly and right. He did it quickly. He thought, oh, the contractor will be so impressed when he comes back. He began to notice, even before the house was fixed, that certain things weren't working like they were supposed to, but he knew some little shortcuts that at least for a while would make it work. And after all, once they sold the house, who cared? The house was finished, and the contractor returned from his trip. And there was the house. And on the outside, it looked good. It looked like all the houses. Without even entering in, the contractor said to his foreman, "You have been a faithful servant to me for all these years. Here, the keys. This is your house. You live in it." Today, on this Stewardship Sunday, on this Mother's Day, what will we do for God? This is our house. Let's build it as good stewards. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, that you paid a debt we could not pay, through your Son, our Savior. And we sing all to Thee. Lord, today may we encompass that in our life. All to You. May we be stewards with our thinking, with our head. Stewards with our heart, that we allow you to direct even our feelings. And with our home, that we might rise up and call you blessed and offer to you as you offer to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 482, All to Thee. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, public or private, we invite you to do so as we stand together. Indeed, we have enjoyed celebrating at our church with our mothers this morning with a breakfast and yesterday with the Sam's luncheon. And I pray that you have wonderful family time today as we have no services this evening. I invite you to do that. And now, as we leave this place, may we who are good stewards do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people. In the midst of all these people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place that we might go as with cheerful hearts, having made up our mind that you supply us with all righteousness, and we shall live by that faith and trust and by our stewardship. In Christ's name.